The following message is brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. To learn more about the Ezra Institute's mission to advance the Lordship of Christ, please visit www.ezrainstitute.ca.
Welcome to Cornerstones. My name is Stephen Martins, and I'm here with Dr. Joseph Boot, and we'll be talking about the gospel and politics. It seems whenever people are talking about the church and cultural engagement, they're concerned that the church is attempting to make the gospel political for its own gain. How does the church engage politically without compromising the gospel?
Well, let's quickly talk about the three key components of that question in order to answer it. First, what is political life? Politics comes from the word polis, the city-state, which has its origin in Greek society, the Greek city-state, and it concerned the public affairs of the city-state. So a certain number of, in some cases, elected people gathered in a council to concern themselves with the public affairs of the people. And so the state really is just a differentiated public. Political life, in the end, is about public life. And we have elected certain people to represent us in that public space to deal with the public affairs of the state, if you will. So the state is just a differentiated public where they're essentially public people in politics, are public servants, who are there to actually serve our interests, represent us, and they've been given a certain amount of delegated authority and power. So they are actually supposed to be accountable. So that's political life, at least as it's developed in the Western world. Then the church, of course, is a different sphere to that of the state. The church has different jurisdiction. Just as the family and the state have their own jurisdictions, the church has its own jurisdiction. And the primary objective and purpose of the church is to proclaim the salvation, victory, and lordship of Christ. I mean, gospel, good news, simply means that Christ is king, he is Lord, and he has a kingdom, and we need to repent to enter it. So the lordship of Jesus Christ, which is declared over everything, obviously has an implication for the sphere of the family. It has implications for the church, obviously. He's been given his head over all things to the church. And it has implications, obviously, for public life. So when people are drawn out of, are differentiated from the common mass to be involved in political life, the public affairs of the state, they don't thereby vanish out from under the lordship of Jesus Christ over every area and sphere of life. So how we then relate those two together is obviously a matter of controversy, and it's been something that has caused a great deal of friction in recent discussions, actually theological discussions in the life of the church, as the West has slipped into an anti-Christian posture in terms of its public life. More and more pressure has been placed on the church, on upon Christians in particular, to relate gospel life and public life or civic life. And there's been various ways that people have responded to that. Some have said, well, the gospel doesn't have any relationship to public life. Some have sought to say that our only responsibility is simply to, you know, preach Jesus and to in the public space and witness to the salvation of Jesus and forgiveness of sins. And others have said, well, actually, the gospel has wider implications than merely forgiveness. It has broader cosmic redemptive ends and goals, and therefore we need to think carefully through the implications of Christ's lordship for political life. So by recognizing that the gospel has political implications, we're not politicizing the gospel. It's not the duty of the institutional church to govern the state. That would be ecclesiocracy. That's not the claim of Christians concerned to relate gospel and culture. And it's not the state's role, it's not the political task to rule and govern the church. But it is for Jesus Christ to rule and govern the family, the church, and the state, because he is Lord. And that's part of the implication of the gospel. So when we recognize that God's word, Christ's gospel, and the standards of scripture have political implications, we're not politicizing the gospel. All we're doing is recognizing that things like marriage and family and life and the question of abortion or euthanasia or human sexuality, these are all things that actually have become political issues in our time. And because the gospel speaks to all of them, the gospel has political implications. And recognizing that is not unfaithfulness to the gospel. Actually, it's true faithfulness to the gospel.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Please feel free to share it with friends, but do not charge for or alter the material in any way without the express written consent of the EICC. Thank you.